All right. We're on. Amen. So when you find your place there in James chapter number 2. Turn me down just a little bit there, Unc. James chapter number 2. And we'll read the first 4 verses. And we'll read them all together in unison tonight. When you found your place in the Bible, would you stand out of respect for God's Word? James chapter number 2. And let's read verses 1 through 4 together. And if you don't have an outline, make sure you maybe sneak back as we pray. Get yourself an outline there and keep track of these. I know some folks keep them, make a little folder for them, and they'll be a blessing to you. It's good study in James here. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Ready? Begin. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Father, again, please edify us through your word tonight. Or we pray, Lord, that you draw us closer to you through truth tonight. Help us to not only hear, but to obey what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our introduction, in our last lesson, we dealt with the command, blank line there, we dealt with the command not to be respecters of persons. Amen, church? We are not to be respecters of persons, or the prohibition against partiality. Okay? We dealt with the prohibition against partiality. And we looked in the opening verse, and you have a blank line there, chapter 2, verse 1, on that blank line, chapter 2, verse 1, in parentheses. Number 1, Roman numeral number 1, the instruction. What was the instruction we got from verse number 1? Well, we looked at regular number 1 there, the love. He talked about my brethren. He's addressing his brothers in the faith. And by the way, we are a family, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. We are called out assembly of church, but we're a family, a body of believers. By the way, there is nothing like being part of a local independent Baptist church. Nothing like it. Amen. And I love it. I'll always be part of an independent Baptist church by the grace of God. Amen. So the love. Then we looked at the legacy. He talks about the faith. And by the way, the faith is contained right here between these leather covers. Amen. It's the entire body of Christian doctrine. The faith. That's our legacy. Then we looked at number 3, the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Amen. Number 4, we looked at the lesson. And the lesson was simple. Have not respect of persons. Okay, so Roman numeral number 1 was the instruction. Let us continue by examining the rest of the passage, and that is James chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, blank line in the parentheses there, James 2, 2 through 4. Roman numeral number 2, let's look at the illustration. The illustration. God gives us an illustration here in chapter 2, verse 2. He says, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, sit there here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. So we see an illustration. Number 1, under the illustration, we see the considered assembly. Okay? The considered assembly. Whether or not this was an actual assembly is not known. But partiality was a prevalent sin of the day. And ladies and gentlemen, let us not forget who James is writing to. If you go back to chapter 1, verse 1, and look at it with me, and it says there, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to who? to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Who is James primarily writing to? Jewish Christians. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was a prevalent sin in the daily life of the Jew, and that was to be a respecter of persons. Okay? By the way, that hasn't changed much. Not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentile and for churches today. How many times do people come in and they've got the right clothes on and we think, oh, they must be saved. Listen, Jehovah's Witnesses wear the right clothes. Huh? We're not to be respecters of persons. Boy, I hope that somebody maybe that doesn't have their hair combed, maybe that doesn't smell quite so nice, would be welcome next to you in this church. Amen? So we have the considered assembly. Number two, we have the contrasting apparel. The contrasting apparel. We see two different types here, A and B. We see the rich. We see the rich. And what does the rich have on? He has on a gold ring and goodly apparel. It's obvious to this assembly that this is a rich man, a wealthy man. Brother Moneybags has just arrived at the church. Brother Billfold is here. Amen. And boy, we want to make sure we're good to Brother Billfold so he'll drop it in. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, let us never operate that way. Let us never operate that way. The widow's mite meant more to God than all that the rich man put in. Amen. The work of God is always done by little people. It's always done by little people. It's always done by... Listen, thank God for people that are generous. There are, by the way, there are those Christians that give. I think of men like Colgate. Colgate toothpaste, the Colgate Empire. He was a Christian, by the way. Built his business on Christian principles. At one point was giving 90% of his income to God. I think of a man like J.C. Penney, a Christian man that gave and gave and gave. And thank God for those people. But by and large, ladies and gentlemen, the local church is financed by the farmer and the factory worker and the office worker. And that dear widow lady that gets a stipend and yet still gives to God. Amen. So the rich, we not only have the contrasting apparel of the rich, and he has his gold ring and goodly apparel, we have the rejected, the poor man in vile raiment. He comes in and his clothes are dirty. They're ragged. It's all he has. He came to a place where he thought he could hear the Word of God and observe the love of God. But we don't want your kind here because you're not dressed right. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, you know me. I'm an old-fashioned independent Baptist preacher. I think you ought to dress right when you come to the house of God. Amen. Amen. You should wear what you got. But God help us when we look down at a visitor because of what they're wearing. Probably that's all they had. Probably they just need the gospel. They need to witness what we saw on Sunday morning, which was the people of God just loving on each other. Amen? So we see the considered assembly. We see the contrasting apparel of the rich and the rejected. But three, we see the contemptible actions in verse 3. And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, sit there here in a good place, and saith unto the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. What do we see here? What are the contemptible actions? Well, the first one is they caters to the rich. Caters to the rich. He thinks he's going to get something out of it, so he caters to the rich. And then, just as vile as that is, he casts down the poor. You can sit. No, as a matter of fact, you can stand. By the way, I would hope that chivalry would say, you know what? Praise God. By the way, I'd love for every one of these pews to be so full that we as members have to say, you know what? You can have my spot. I'll stand up against the wall. Amen. Amen. We look lastly, Roman numeral number 1, we have the instruction. Roman numeral number 2, we have the illustration. Roman numeral number 3, we have the investigation. The investigation. James initiates the investigation and then leaves it up to us to close the case through. And we have a blank line here, and I want you to write down this scripture, and then I want you to go to it. 1 Corinthians 11:31. See, James initiates the investigation by asking a rhetorical question. Most times a rhetorical question is asked to simply prove a point, because the point is obvious. The question answers itself. Go to 1 Corinthians 11:31. So here James initiates this investigation with this rhetorical question, and he leaves it up to each of us to close the case through 1 Corinthians 11:31. What does that verse say? It says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So what is James doing here? He leaves it up to us to close the case through 1 Corinthians 11:31. And if we are guilty of this sin of partiality, properly seeing ourselves in two different ways. Okay? And these are, again, I've mentioned this over and over and over. James spiritually bloodies our nose. See, these are sins. The sin of partiality, if we're grading a scale of sins, partiality is pretty low on the list. Listen, nobody ever died from murder because somebody was partial. It's true, okay? But James is saying here, and he's going to continue later on in this chapter, in verse 10 of chapter 2, he's going to say, "For if ye offend in one point, you're guilty of all." Okay? So what is he saying here? He says if we're guilty of this sin, number one, under there, we're partial. We're partial. And we looked at these verses last week, but I'd like to look at them again, these cross-references here, in the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, two cross-references there that we see in Proverbs 24:23 and Proverbs 28:21. Let's go there. Proverbs 24:23. He says here, if we're guilty of the sin, that we must properly see ourselves as partial. And that's not a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. Why? What did God say about it in Proverbs 24:23? Okay, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 23. He said, "These things also belong to the wise. It is not," what? "Good to have respect of persons in judgment." Okay, now listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a simple grammar lesson. If something is not good, a synonym of that is bad. So if it's not good to have respect of persons, that means it's bad to be partial. Amen. I've got a problem with partiality. Listen, it's not a problem, it's sin. It's sin, amen? It's sin, it's bad. So go over, if you would, to Proverbs 28:21. "To have respect of persons is not good." Same verse, amen? It tells us that it's a sin to be partial. Okay? It's sin. Sin to be partial. So we not only have there that we're guilty of the sin, we must properly see ourselves as partial, but here's one, folks. And this is, listen, James said it. I'm just repeating it. Amen. He said here, "Are ye not partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts?" You know what else we are if we're guilty of this sin? We're not only partial, we're perverse. Perverse. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we're judging evil things, and that is not our job. We're perverse. Go over to Galatians chapter 3. We'll close with this. I'm so glad for the authority of God's Word that I can hide behind it. Amen? Now, if I said you're perverse if you're partial, you just said, "Well, who are you to tell me that?" Well, God's the one that said it, amen? The Holy Spirit wrote it here. He said, we become judges of evil things. We're twisting what God has given us to do. And to twist is to pervert. That's what it means. Galatians chapter 3, and thank God for these verses. Verses 26 through 28, we read them on Sunday night as well. But it says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? That means the rich brother is just as much a child of God as the poor brother is. Amen? And then the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, goes on to elaborate here. He says, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Please, I'm not inserting to the Word of God. I think in our context we could say, there is neither rich nor poor. Why? Because of that last phrase there. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And that's why God doesn't want us to judge a book by its cover. Don't judge that rich man that comes in goodly apparel. Don't you judge him. Doesn't mean he's saved. Doesn't mean he's lost. Don't judge him, amen. He's coming in. God bless him. He gets to hear the sound of the gospel. So does the poor man. Don't look at him and say, well, I don't want him sitting next to me. No, no. Matter of fact, say, hey, sit right next to me. We're glad to have you here today. He'll feel welcome. I'll close with this story, and we've got to close. Dr. Malone went to see a man one time. He was a recluse. Long fingernails, long hair, early 50s. The lady had asked him, lady had come to the church and said, would you please go see my brother? Dr. Malone said, I'd be glad to. And he went to see this man, and the man was a recluse. An apartment completely unkempt, just things everywhere. Dr. Malone thanked God for this story. It's a true story. He didn't see the things everywhere. He saw a man who needed Christ. Yeah. And he began to talk to the man about his soul. And the man trusted Christ. And when he died, he left to Emmanuel Baptist Church the 44 acres where the campus of Midwestern Baptist College was for 50 years. All because Dr. Malone wasn't a respecter of persons. Let's not judge a book by its cover, folks. Amen. Let's be a blessing to all. Father,